let's go ahead and have the Ray family come on up. We're going to do a, whoever you guys want to come up with you, Dan and Amber, whoever, I don't know if you've arranged anything, if it's just you guys, or it's awesome to see the whole family come out. What a blessing, this whole back corner. It's so great to see you guys. The DeLuca family's here. Blessed to have you guys. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who else is here from the pastoral team? I know Tony's up in Saugerties today. Pastor Vaughn went up to Saugerties today. Pastor Rich, why don't you come on up? Chris and Carrie, come on up. Miss Wendy. You ready to say something, Chief?
I guess so.
What are you doing up here anyway?
All right. Well, praise God. We're just blessed to be up here a third time in 3 years. We'll see you next year. You know, for all those that always ask me at work, yes, we have a TV. Yes, I have a PS3. Yes, I have internet and a few hobbies too. We still haven't figured it out, but we're blessed to have these children. For those of you that do know, you come to my life group, you see that we're in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house, and I have 3 little girls and a 4th baby on the way. And, you know, I just want, yes. Yeah. Amen. So normally someone like me should be freaking out because I have a possible 4 women about to grow up in this very tiny home. But I've said it before, and I'm really glad I've said it in front of you guys as a church. It keeps me accountable, but I'll say it again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I speak that over my wife and I speak that over our whole family. It's a challenge in this day and age, in this New York State with the taxes, to move into a house. But I know that there is a God I serve, and he has an angel army behind me. Amen. So I'm just blessed to be a part of this church, blessed to have even the family and extended family. I have an aunt and uncle-in-law in the house today. You know, I just want to encourage you guys. I missed it during the worship. I apologize. But listen, Josh spoke about the cross. God put worth on us by being on the cross. Amen. He placed in us our worth by being on that cross. And I was thinking about it. I have my father here. I have my father-in-law here. And I even have my uncle-in-law, who are all known to never throw anything out, right? Who knows those men that you have, they have the shoes that their toes are sticking out, but they put tape over it, right? And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how many of us think that we're like that before the Lord, that the Lord should otherwise throw us out. But the cross has shown us that he says we're not worth throwing out. Right. How many times do you see the wives of those men saying, just throw it out and buy a new one? But no, Rich has his pocket knife out, and he's fixing it up, amen? So I wanted to let you know that in the same regard, we were once broken, but he has made us whole. He has found value in us to go on the cross for us. If you ever doubt anything, you just need to remember the cross. So I just think about that as far as his goodness and his mercy following my wife and I in our lives all through our days. I just know he's going to be there. Amen.
Amen.
So it's at this moment we're going to dedicate, you know, this is a tradition, but tradition without passion is meaningless. I think about, you know, how come when you find someone and you both agree to get married, when you're on bended knee and she takes that ring, how come you're not married right then and there? Why do you have to wait till this tradition of getting in front of a church, getting in front of people? There's something about when people are witnessing an event. There's something about when you're proclaiming something. And what we're doing here, right here in this moment, is adding number 3 here to someone that we are going to promise before the Lord and dedicate our lives into growing into God's word. And you know what? Jesus, they did that with Jesus. So if they did it with Jesus, I'm pretty sure we have to do it too. So if by nothing else, that reason alone, we're doing this morning. I just praise God that Leah's just adorable as anything else and that we have her and that every child is a blessing. I mean, we're due in August, and I'm going to have my review at my job in this month in February. And some of you don't know this, but with every child, I've gotten a raise at my job. Once a year, so I'm just believing for another raise. So if you want some raises, men with wives, maybe you should give your wife what she wanted. So, well, praise God. Wow. I don't know where I am today. I was... Worship just slammed me as much as it slammed everyone. All right, what do we... do you have anything to say, hon? I just... I said it all. Amen. Yeah, most of that was Amber. She told me to say all that. So, wow. Okay. Who's going to start? I'll start praying. Yes. All right. Praise God. Just join me, church. Lord God, I just thank you for everyone who's in this room. I have friends. I have family. I have relatives, Lord God. I just thank you for all those that surround me in my life to keep me accountable to my walk with you. And in the same regard, Lord, I will not let this little one fall, Lord God. And she will be taking my mic. But Lord, I just thank you so much. Thank you. Lord, I just thank you for my little one here. I thank you for Leah. I just thank you that every child is a gift from you, Lord God. And Lord, as she goes through teething and keeps us awake, Lord God, I just know that she's a blessing from you, Lord God. And I thank you for that blessing. And we will give her back to you, Lord God. We just thank you for the honor and the privilege that you have set us as her parents, Lord God, as she was conceived first in your heart and in your mind, Lord, and then you gave her to us. Lord, so I thank you for this child. I promise to grow her up in your ways, Lord God. And I thank you for the safety net of the people that surround me to keep me accountable to that, Lord. And in this moment, Lord, with many witnesses, I say, Lord, I will teach her to grow in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did you want to say something? What an awesome gift and privilege it is to stand alongside, I can say he's a young man because I'm older than him, and just witness the faith of a young family like that, to be able to just recognize that ultimately it is the Lord that's responsible for his raise. Does that make sense to anybody here? Does it make sense that it's actually God's responsibility to provide for those kids when by faith you put that burden on him? He can handle it, but many of us don't put that burden on him. We think that we'll do better ourselves, and I'm just so blessed to stand alongside and feel that and juggle babies and all that. It's just an awesome thing that we're a church that loves children. We believe that they are the reward of the Lord, and the scripture is true when it says that the reward of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. And so it's just a matter of how we respond to the stresses and the sleeplessness and whatever that they bring to us that is really what's the point. So at this time, we can release our other little ones to go to their Sunday school classes. You guys are blessed. We love you. Walk slowly. Listen good to your teachers. We so appreciate the teachers that are going down week after week and teaching these guys and training them. Thank you, Lord. Well, the part of this morning that I'm really, really excited about, and I hope everybody that's in Sunday school class knows this already, is that we are going afterwards today. I've got an envelope filled with, I think, just about 40 gift certificates to Saugerties area restaurants that we're going to pass out at the end, and just really encourage you to go on up. It's only about 10 minutes up the street on 9W. It's right in the middle of Partition Street and Village. We got all the main little restaurants in there. We've got gift certificates for those. And at the end of this meeting, we're going to end a little short so I can just have folks raise hands who wants to go where and pass these out. Most of them are $5 and $10 gift cards. And it's going to be an awesome time to just go up there, up in Saugerties. We had a lot of folks go up to Saugerties today. And they're handing them out up there as well. So they're going to be going out. We're going to bump into each other as we're on the sidewalk and stuff. And it's just a great little village. And so please, please hang around at the end. Get a card and just go and use it. If you just want to go in and use the value of the card, at least do that. Just go in. With each card, it's going to be a church card. Let them know that, you know, obviously when I bought the cards, I let them know what the vision and the idea was, that as a pastor, I want to get our congregants circulating in the village and supporting them. But also when you spend that gift card, make sure that you just give them the church card that's going to be with it so that they have contact information that they can see this is the person. And, you know, be respectful, be kind, polite, and all that. And if there's an opportunity to invite them to church or whatever the Lord gives you to be able to say, please do that as well. So that's going to happen right around 12:20, okay? So that basically gives me a few minutes here to just continue a little bit with what we started. I get everything. Let me put this. Otherwise, I keep rereading the announcements, seeing if I missed any. I probably did, but at this point, That's enough for 1 week. Keep looking for my water bottle. I know it was up here somewhere, but it took off on me. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you that as we look into your word and we share your word together, that you've promised by your Spirit to reveal it to us, to cause it to come alive on the inside of us, to become a seed that will produce an incorruptible harvest, that it will be a seed that will bring change to our lives, Lord. We thank you for your word, for your voice, for everything about you, Lord, that is intent on bringing change and new levels to our lives. I thank you, Jesus, for your heart for us, for your deep love for us, in Jesus' name. And so last week, we spent some time talking about responsibility and whose opinion do you live in, and what I want to just complete that thought with, because I kind of got distracted and sidetracked last week. I got a little wound up, and that tends to happen, and it's just something about the word, the richness of the word, and the power of the word. When you begin to understand that, like Xavier shared this morning in worship, that the literal creation that we see, touch, feel, the person that's sitting next to you, they were formed from something invisible, but yet with such great power. It was the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. And when that Word went forth, it caused things which couldn't be seen to suddenly materialize. It says that the things that we see were made not from things that we see, but from things that were unseen. And the only thing that bridged the gap between what was invisible and what's now visible is one thing, and it was God's Word. Genesis is very clear. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. And when we recognize that His Word has that power, and we recognize that by the new creation, by the promise of the new birth, that we've been born again by an incorruptible seed, not corruptible, not by the will of flesh, by the will of man, none of that, but by an incorruptible seed, by the will of God, you realize that we have been made in Genesis in the image of God, and now we've been remade in the new creation, in the new covenant. We've been remade literal offspring of the living God. We are those descended from the Holy Spirit who produced in Christ what no man could ever produce, what Adam couldn't do once he fell, now has been produced in the new man, you and me, those who believe. And that's a powerful, powerful reality, because it begins to help us understand why it is that we have scriptures that say things like we're going to stand before Him and we're going to give an account on the final day when we breathe our last, or when He returns, which I guess we'll probably breathe our last then too, because this body's not going to stand in His presence. But when that happens, there is a time coming when we're going to give an account for every idle word. How powerful are words to the Lord? How important are they to Him? If He's literally, you know, kind of, that's a very condemning scripture for a lot of people, but don't let it condemn you. Let it challenge you. Let it do something inside you that makes you realize the power of your words. The power of what you say and don't say is so enormous, and it's hard when we realize that we live in a culture, as I pointed out last week, that refuses to take responsibility. We are bent on blaming somebody else and then suing them for their money. We'd love to blame someone else for whatever happened to us so that we can not only not blame ourselves and take and bear the weight of that mistake, but beyond that, we want to receive compensation from the person or an entity, whatever it is. And we want to be reimbursed somehow financially, usually. Responsibility is something that's so far removed and is gradually waning in our culture. And we have to, as believers, as those who are the offspring of a creator God, we have to understand the power of creativity that He expects from us, and recognize that it's through our words that we begin to speak the changes that are necessary for our lives and for the lives of the people that are around us. It's an interesting concept if you think about it. How many TV shows, whether they're serial shows or movies or whatever, how many of them are geared and in the core of the plot is wrapped up this thing? They're looking for who it is that's responsible. Who's responsible for this murder, for this crime, for the theft, whether it's a cop show, whatever. There's something about going after who is responsible for this. Some of the best movies, you know, the John Waynes and the movies that are just classics. Most of them, if you look at their plot, they've got something to do with trying to go out and find that person who's responsible for this terrible thing that happened in this village or town or whatever. We're designed to try to find out who's responsible for things. And in the process, unfortunately, many of us in this modern culture, and I guess it's probably been throughout culture, but now especially, with this, we're responsible for who we are, right? We're not responsible for the ones that went before us, but we're responsible for us. And in this culture, there's this immediate, as soon as correction comes, I have teenagers, so I understand this very clearly. As soon as any kind of correction or any kind of pointing out, you didn't do your responsibility, or that actually wasn't their responsibility. It's not your little brother's responsibility. That was actually your responsibility. As soon as responsibility is tried to be placed on someone for their actions or their behaviors, there's an immediate defense mechanism that kicks in, and suddenly your 14-year-old's the best lawyer that's ever walked on the planet. Right? You've witnessed it. You've seen it. I don't know. I'm tired. But then all of a sudden, you try to put a responsibility, and all of a sudden, this mechanism kicks in where they're defending everything that's ever happened, and they're painting this amazing case where you sit. Some points, I mean, my wife will call me sometimes and be like, "Can I just talk to you about this?" Because, especially our son, I have a few, so that's he's protected. But I mean, he's amazing. He's amazing, and he'll catch me off guard. If I call him, and I've already received a call from her, maybe from another sibling, the case against this brother, and I call and get him on the phone, if I didn't have the previous information and I didn't have a couple different sides to maintain my case against what I know I need to get through to him, I'd lose. Because he's just that good. And it didn't really say this. What I thought she said and what it sounded like she said, because I only heard this and this because I was still taking my earbud out of the other side. And so I might have missed the first three words that she said. And if I did, well, then that's probably when she said, "No, don't." And so all I heard was "do." And, you know, it's amazing that on the fly, the stuff that comes out. And it's just a phenomenon because there's this innate ability to defend when responsibility tries to come upon us. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, one of the things that he brought to bear on them over and over and over was that, yes, you can do it. It is your responsibility. I gave it to you. I'm just thinking now of when he came down off the mountain and there was this demon-possessed boy and they couldn't get the demon to go. He cast it out for them, but then they said, "Why couldn't we do it?" And he didn't say, "Oh, well, this is just, you got to realize there's certain ones that only I can do and certain ones that you can do." That's not what he said. He said, "No, you could have done it, but it's through prayer and fasting that increases your faith so that then you'll have the faith to do it. It's because of your lack of faith that it didn't work." You can't disqualify yourself. When you become a disciple of Christ, he expects you to operate and to function in a realm of creative power and authority that most of us are quick to know, and we'll pull some kind of false humility, we've heard it called before. We'll pull some kind of "woe is me, oh, I'm not there yet, I'm still, someday I'll be there." And we try to disqualify ourselves primarily as a way of keeping the responsibility off of us. I've done it. I've done it for years and years and years. And it wasn't until I realized that if I don't like this part of my life, guess who has to change it? Not the pastor, not the prayer team, not my parents, not my siblings, not anybody else. If anything in your life, if you're waiting for someone else to get it right so that your life can now go to the next level, you will stay stuck. Your life will go to the next level when you tap into the power that's available through the new creation inside you. Remember, the kingdom doesn't come by observation. The kingdom is within you. Jesus made it clear. Don't try to put it somewhere else. Oh, come over here, go over there. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And therefore, as you operate in that bubble, as we called it last week, that is around you, that kingdom of heaven that's within you, there's an influence that you are responsible for, sheerly based on the fact that the kingdom of heaven is in you and it encompasses you. In that domain, the king of that domain, delegated authority has been given to you to speak forth what needs to happen in that realm. And it's amazing how fast people can create excuses and reasons why, well, that's for them. We heard an awesome testimony last week. In fact, are you willing to just share that testimony real quick, Rhonda, or is that uncomfortable for you? About your shoulders. Pastor Don, I think, ratted you out. Here, I'll bring you the mic.
Well, I had total shoulder replacement. It's 14 weeks ago now. And I couldn't move my shoulders at all this way. at all. And then January 4th was the night of fasting and prayer, of prayer to get ready for the Daniel. Pastor Don lifted my arms up, and I was slain in the spirit, so I could lift him up that much, started. And then last week, I was trying to lift my arms up, and Pastor Don came over, and he said, what do you need prayer for? And I said, my shoulders are in constant pain, which they are, 24 hours a day, constant pain, for 2 years at least. He lifted my arms up, lifted my arms up, and he said, release them and be healed. Well, I can lift them up, no pain. My husband said he has not seen me not in pain for over 2.5 years. And I went to my physical therapist Tuesday, and she said to me, what happened to your range of motion? And I said, I got prayed for. And she said, and I said, that I can lift my arms up. She checked my range of motion, and she said I went from 90 degrees to 135 to 145, and that I have strength. Before, she could press my arm, and she'd push it right in. Now she would use, all of her strength, and this is a big muscular woman, and she couldn't push my arm in. And then she lifted it up and tried to push it down. She couldn't push it down. Before, I couldn't even lift it up. And if she did lift it up, she would lift it up, and it would fall right down. And so she said that it's just a miracle. She said that, and that I don't have pain anymore. I was in constant pain. And then I can lift my arms without pain, and I can do, I've been cleaning the house, I've been cooking, my husband's very happy.
So awesome. It's so amazing. And so she tells her doctor this, and from what I understand, the doctor said, prayer works for you. Is that about, okay. Yeah, prayer works for you. You see, and that's fine, but you got to hear the other side of it. What I'm trying to use it for is, at least her doctor was faced with, in her face, someone just got healed. And yet, because for her to say, wow, prayer works, suddenly that would put something on her. Suddenly then she would have to reevaluate some of what she believes, and she would have to take responsibility, and she will still have to take responsibility before the Lord for what she now knows to be true. However, there's still that knee-jerk reaction in most people is just, okay, prayer works for you, good. Just keep it over there. Keep it over there. I don't want to have to take responsibility for the way that I've already programmed myself to think. I've already got myself set. Don't mess with it. And we go through that life. We have justifications for why we are the way that we are, why we have not been able to change in the past, and why we probably won't be able to change in the future. It's all laid out there. We've got a case built. Cases get built. I was an introvert. I had the wrong personality to do what I'm doing. I had the wrong everything. I had fears that stood in the way of what I needed to do, what the call of God was on my life. And I had a whole case built. It was rock solid. You couldn't beat it for over 20 years. And then Pastor Vaughn came into my life, and things began to have to break because he has a prophetic gift, and he speaks the word into you, and he tells you how it really is and how God sees it, and it's not negotiable. And there's certain realities that when you submit yourself to that kind of a voice, whether it makes sense to you or not, you find that it begins to produce change in you. And suddenly the case that you had built up for why you weren't the right person and what you really should be doing is just work with your hands. You have a gift to be in construction and work with your hands. Just use that. Don't make ripples. Just be that person. You have a family. You've got everything in place. Look, your life is fine. Just keep going. But I knew there was something else in there. And because there was something else in there, it was being masked, and that the hunger that I had for the things of the Lord was being drowned out with alcohol and with other things that kept me sedated and kept me feeling like, yeah, the case stands. The case is strong. My case is good. I'm doing all that I can. This is really all I got to do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I had to keep building that case with my own thoughts, with my own words. But there comes a time in your life when you are going to have to stand before the Lord, and you're going to give an account for every word that you speak. And every word that you didn't speak, I believe that very clearly, because the call is it's irrevocable. The call that God has placed upon your life is irrevocable. And if he's called you to do something and he's designed you to do it, but your case stands in the way of that, you're never going to step into what it is because you can't see it. You've already justified why it's not for you. And my plea this morning is that let us take responsibility for what it is. You know, I've got some other illustrations about how we... responsibility, it's a cool word. I mean, the best way I want to just leave this What do I usually you start with this, but I guess I was too wound up. What does responsible mean? Responsible means that which you'll give an account for. You will give an account for the result. You know, when you get it right, you get the applause. When you get it wrong, you get the boos. You know, it really is that simple. When you're responsible for something, the success of it hangs on you and the failure of it hangs on you. And too often, we're quick to grab, you know, the thrill of the success when it works. Oh, all praise be to Jesus. But then, you know, when it doesn't work, oh, I guess it just wasn't the Lord's will. No, maybe there was something in your heart that just needed to be addressed. Maybe there's something in there that he wants to work on. Don't be so quick to just chalk it up that way. There's a responsibility that we have to take on if we're going to grow and mature. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul just says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a responsibility in this gospel when we come to a certain point in our life. If you want to go to the next level, primarily what takes you there is ownership that you are the one that can bring it there. By the grace of God, when you step forward on his promise, you find that the only thing holding you back is you and your unbelief about the fact that you have been given all things pertaining to life and to godliness, that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The abundance has been put into your account. What we do with it is all about us and our response to that gift. It's an amazing thing in Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle of all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You know, we realize, okay, well, that's Genesis. You know, that's old. That's before the fall. Well, how about Matthew 16:19 then? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The responsibility, the power to function in the level of victory that we are called to function in, it's been given to us. And the only reason we stay stuck most of the time is because we're looking for a man. We're looking for someone to have the right thing, that it finally clicks for us, and we say, Oh, that's what I need to do. And the reality is it's already been given. The seed is in you if you believe. But there's a powerful link that connects you to the promise. And we've touched on it already. It's God's word, but the other thing is that it's your word. Who do you say that Jesus is? The tool that bridges the gap between what is unseen and bringing it into reality and causing it to manifest and materialize in front of you is words. It's your words. It's not your wishful thinking. Positive thinking can't do it because positive thinking doesn't have a voice. You want to know, there's a massive difference between riding around in your car listening to happy music, thinking positive thoughts, than there is riding around in your car telling yourself how your day is going to go. Something changes when you open your mouth and you begin to speak about what your life is going to look like, when you speak about what your family is going to look like, when you begin to speak about the recovery that your families are going to have, you begin to speak it and something changes. And if you've never tried it, you think I'm just, well, it's just as good as if I think it and listen to it as if I speak it. Try it, and then you won't argue with me anymore. You can speak to financial issues. You can speak to health issues. You can speak to relational issues. The power is in the word. And as you speak, faith comes by hearing. When you speak faithful words, hearing of faithful words comes to your ears, and then you begin to be inspired by that faith, and you can go level after level just by, it's not positive thinking, it's proclaiming the truth of what the promises are for your life. There's a huge difference, but words are what connects. Words are that portal that brings what is unseen to what's visible. I mean, I was just watching The Avengers the other day, and that whole Marvel series, you know, from Captain America and Thor and I don't know who's followed the whole thing, but it's all based on that Tesseract, which is that it's the portal. It's what allows things from another dimension to get into this dimension. And it is a genius thing. I don't know, he probably wasn't a believer, but whatever, he probably understood some level of spiritual truth to realize that there is a portal from what is supernaturally. Remember, it says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Well, how do I get everything that's laid up for me in heavenly places here in my life now on this earth? from heaven's atmosphere to this atmosphere. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do I get that to happen? With your prayers, with your words, with what you speak. You will soon begin to believe what you're speaking. When you begin to tell people what an awesome creator, what an amazing God, when you begin to tell them your testimony that you shouldn't be alive. God convicted me so powerfully this morning about the fact that I really don't speak my testimony. I don't tell people the darkness that I was trapped in. And I'm not ashamed of it. It's just that I didn't see the power of it. And you realize, and you begin to speak forth what he's done for you, it begins to change my faith in him. Because I'm hearing what he did for me. I already know it. But I began to see it, and I began to tell him this morning just how thankful I am that time when I wanted it all to end, that it didn't work. You begin to tell him that. And then my faith in him begins to grow because I just heard myself give thanks for what I knew he did for me, but I told him thank you for it. And it begins to change. It begins to build in you. It begins to become a fire in you that you just are looking for a set of ears to tell. Listen, you don't have to suffer anymore. Just believe that you have the power, that you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You know our whole salvation is hung up on this? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, just the words coming out of your mouth that you believe that Jesus is who God said that he was and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved from death to life. Darkness to light in a single transaction, in a single word just being formed in your lips and being spoken out. The power of heaven to change your life from doubt and fear to faith and victory is just in one word or a few words or one sentence, whatever. It's an amazing thing, these words that we have. And Rich touched on it this morning in the class, and then Xavier touched in on it. They're the portal. They're the thing that brings what's been laid up and provided for us into this life. And I tell you what, the thing that slams that door shut so fast and locks it tighter than anything is complaining. And there's one thing you all know. You can't watch 5 minutes of any news program, any documentary, anything, and not hear someone complaining. Someone is complaining about something. Even at the highest level, if it's the president, he's going to complain about some resistance that he's getting from some other branch of government. If it's the legislative branch, they're complaining about the resistance that they're getting from the president. It's all complaining because it's someone else's responsibility. And the only hope for change is when you buckle down and own up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because it's been given to me. It's not arrogance. It's not our Jesus didn't consider it robbery to consider himself equal to God because it wasn't robbery. And we as his brothers, he said, I'm going to my God and your God. I'm going to my father and to your father. Remember he told Mary or one of them, go and tell my disciples, I'm going, I'm ascending. He had provided through his death, burial, and resurrection the ability for us to be called his brothers. It's a big difference between just those made in his image and those who have been brought into a new covenant, into a kingdom, into a new creation reality that's so much more powerful than most of us want to take responsibility for. There's a creative element that comes to your life when you begin to realize this. It's prophetic because speaking forth the mind and counsel of God is prophecy. Speaking forth with the natural voice, things that cannot be known by natural means. That's the definitions of prophecy. But in that is the creative power. The word goes forth with power, goes forth with a creative element in it. And one of my heart cries for this congregation is that we would rise up and become a people of creativity. There is a creator that made us, and there should be such creativity that we come to fellowship together with. There should be such creative words that we're speaking into one another, words of hope and promise and future. They should, like when we heard Dan pray over his little baby, the promise that he spoke into her future, what he would do for her, the promise of life that was sent forth into that little life. Why? Because he's just speaking creatively into the future. His words are framing her future the same way that God's word framed what we see here. This creative thing, I don't know, It's got to manifest. It has to manifest in these last days because there's so much creativity in the world. There's so much creativity that's used for man's glory and in art and everything else that, I don't know. What I just want to throw out here at the end is just this idea of change, because we talked about change a little bit last week, and I think change is one of those things that it creeps up on you before you know it, that you really haven't changed in a little while. And the more advanced you go with the Lord, the more you say yes to Him, the more you give Him your whole heart, the more you find that really every single day of your life needs to look different than the day before. Otherwise, you're probably getting in a rut already. This constant change thing. And it's because there's a creative spirit in Him. When Jesus came, one of the highest level of miracles that we all seek for in the kingdom is what's called a creative miracle. Why? Because it's tissue that wasn't there being brought into existence by words, by His Spirit, by His power. That power doesn't originate with us. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We're not little gods running around with the creative power to just make and build whatever we want. We are those who do, if we do as we hear the Father speaking and we obey and submit to His word, we do have the delegated authority to speak. And as we speak, His word joins by His Spirit, and miracles do happen. We've had that was just one of them from last week. There was another one that was even more amazing. It was incredible the way God, by His word being spoken in faith, can produce a miraculous thing. But creative miracles is something that I believe is available to every person. I'll just say it plain. Why? Because if the kingdom of heaven is within you and you're listening to the voice of your Father, and it says, like, you pray, Jesus told them to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Well, we know there's no sickness in heaven. We know there's no disease in heaven. We know everything is perfect in heaven. Then we have the responsibility to speak to those areas of our life, not just once. Not just twice. It might take 1,000 times. It might take the rest of your life speaking words of faith to whatever that relationship that's broken is. It might take the rest of your life speaking to whatever that mindset is that just won't leave you alone. But you speak it long enough, and the promise is that his realm of influence is greater. He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And that the more you speak it, the more it begins to make sense to you. The more you begin to realize, I can change my future. I can literally control my future with the words that I speak. Sounds arrogant. It sounds like I'm taking this license. We are so unfamiliar with the power of the new creation. Jesus told His disciples, the greater things than you've seen me do, will you do. There are realms and abilities and possibilities to us, but change and our resistance to let go of the case that we've built for why our life is the way it now is now and stand and defend it, rather than just let that go and the amount of energy that's invested in that, release that into focusing, God, what could you do? If I've got 10 years left, what could you do with it? What could it look like? I'm telling you, pray those prayers. Get on your pillow, close your eyes and say, God, what could I do? See what comes into your mind. Maybe it's just vain imaginations. Start someplace. Start to believe that you can do more than whatever it is you've done up to that point, because that's the essence of a creative God. That's His essence. Remember, He looked at all that He had made in Genesis and said it was good. And a few verses later, He looked at Adam and He said, it's not good that he's alone. Well, how can that be? He just said the opposite. No, from His viewpoint, He sees things in the natural, and when He sees them, He recognizes that, man, good's just not good enough. In fact, He said it was very good. Everything He made was very good. And then He saw Adam. Because when you have the spirit of creativity in you, when you have the power to produce things with your words, and you know it, God knows He has the power to do it. When He has the power to think a divine revelation, even after He saw what He did was very good, there's going to be change. He has the ability to take what seems perfect and make it even better. There's a lot of people that get stuck at a certain level of growth because everything's pretty good. It's one of the worst levels you can get stuck at, because there's really nothing to complain about. It looks like you're in faith. It looks like everything's great. But He's the God that made the galaxies. He made the molecular structure. He made the things that defy the size of it. Seems completely unnecessary, some of the stuff that's so many millions of light years, billions of light years away. And yet, He's given us that ability to speak prophetically, to speak into existence. By prophecy, by speaking faith in love, can produce change in people's lives. And children seem to get this, because children aren't afraid. I mean, they're only halfway done putting the thing together, and they want to smash it apart. I mean, children are just about as likely to fight over who gets to break the tower down as they are who gets to build it. Because they're not afraid of that. They're just going to build it again. They're going to make it taller this time. It's just in them. Part of building it is so that they can smash it and build it again. It's the beauty of blocks. It's the beauty of Legos. Why do you think there's such a simple little concept, and yet they're one of the most addicting things you can get into? Right, Joe? How many cases did you have, man? Yeah, we'll confess later. We'll do confessional later. But do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we get to a place in our life where we've built something a certain way. We feel like it's just too perfect. It's just the way we like it. So, God, please leave it alone. But he's a creative God. Whatever the best we can do with our life is, you think there's not something in him that wants to be like, and do something else? He loves us that much. There's this little finite window of time that we've got here on this planet to impact as many people as we possibly can. And then we're off. We're off to be with him for indefinite, just endlessness of time, absence of time. I love to think about what that is, because there's no way you can tell me a God that can create everything I see, he's not still going to be creating things after the eighth day or on the eighth day. I mean, we get our week. We all know this, right? We get our seven-day week based on first day, second day, third, seventh day rested. You know, we lose track of how integrated God is into the every single day of our life. His word has set the very calendar that we follow for centuries. You know, and unfortunately, because we are creative beings and there is that element of creativity in us, not everything that we create is actually successful. And that's something that I just want to say as the leader of this church, as the lead pastor in this church. Every change that we make may not be the best change possible, but I can promise you it's with the best intent. Everything that's happening in Saugerties, maybe everything is not, maybe the changes that are being made and the way things are, maybe it's not the best way it can be done, but it's our responsibility to change things. You can't just look at something and complain about how it looks and have the power to change it and not change it. We're responsible to change things. We're responsible to mix it up. And that's what's next. That's what this wave is kind of coming into my spirit. And that's what next week is about with this Friends and Family Week. We got to continue to believe for just change and keep things moving. I believe it's next week that Gary and Susan are going to come down. They're the congregational pastors in Saugerties. They're going to be here with us. And we're just going to keep the circulation going. There's going to be changes that are constant. Why? Because we believe in change. Creativity produces change. You can't have creative power without the ability to embrace change. You know, some of the changes that people, you know, they want, the car wasn't good enough and a pickup truck wasn't good enough, so you get the two together and you get like a Subaru Brat or El Camino or whatever, and, you know, they become, there's no calendars really, maybe now there is because they're so unique, but, you know, it's just the fact that there's something in us that wants to try to marry a pickup truck to a compact vehicle. There's something in us. I know, I think Wendy loves the Brats, right? Yeah, one of Wendy's dream cars is the Subaru Brat, I think. I haven't seen it in your driveway yet, so we'll have to work on that. But, you know, not every idea is a great idea, but at least it's out there. At least there's a Subaru Brat that we can all look at and laugh. At least someone tried. They sold, they got it onto the assembly line, you know? It's just the nature. I mean, some of the changes that I remember my brother and I getting my sister's cat, and somehow the thing, once we got done with it, it had like a shaved tail and like a shaved body with like a white racing stripe down. We tried to make it look like a skunk to see if we could fool her, but we were young. We didn't know any better. We were probably like 17 and 15 or something. But I think we were 12 and 10. But not every change that we go out after is going to work out necessarily. But the point is, there should be something in you. Dare to question. We talked about contentment is not sameness last week. Don't settle for just the same thing that you've had for the first however long you've lived. Think about, I'm content because no matter what happens, if I die right now, I'm going to be with him forever. That's where your contentment lies. But everything else about the natural, the increase, the vision, the dreaming, the capacity to change, all that should make you tingle. If you're not thinking thoughts and ideas that, where your next vacation? I got this ridiculous idea right now that I want to do. It's ridiculous. What? You pause the recording? No, I'm only kidding. I just want to buy it like a little. My elbow gets like my fingertips. I've never seen a Pacific Ocean. I'm 40 years old. I've been in this country. You know what I'm saying? There's just things when you think small that don't seem like a huge tragedy, but then sometimes you get in God's presence and you realize, what's the gravity here? What's the weight right now? Why there's not the ability to sell it when I'll sell it when I get back. I could probably continue building the case of why it would work perfectly, right, dear? We can rent our house out while we're gone. She's just smiling at me, but, you know, we'll fix it up a little bit, sell it for more than we paid for it, even though it's got more miles. Father, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for your love that's been shown abroad in our hearts, that you chose us, Lord, that we could just grab for a second the reality that you chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be without blame and holy before you in love, that there is nothing in you that intends evil for any single person. There is nothing in your heart for any single one of your children except blessing and reward and riches and promotion and glory to glory and moving towards you, Lord. Yes, we'll suffer in the process. Yes, we'll have tribulations, but only to try to distract us from the faith that we know, the things that we know to be true, Lord. And Jesus, I thank you this morning that you would just cause a tingle to begin to come into the minds of people, that we could think creative thoughts, that we could not just have the best food pantry in this area and the great clothing shed, but there would just be other ideas that would just begin to come, the best daycare, Lord, the creativity that's already been poured into this house, Lord. I don't want to seem ungrateful for it. But Lord, I know how much more there is. I know how much more hurting people there are in this community, how many hurting hearts there are in this world, Lord, and you want to touch every single one of them. I look at what you went through to preserve me and to bring me, Lord, and I just wonder how many people are out there that you've been doing the same thing and they just need to hear the word of life. They need to hear the promise of a God who will never leave them or forsake them, who's prepared a good place for them. Lord, I just pray this morning that you would extend your arms to every heart in this room who's just been softened by the words from your mouth. That you would just touch them, Lord, and help them to know, cause them to have the faith to believe just even for a nanosecond that they are truly accepted in the Beloved, that the price for their sin has been paid in full, that there's nothing else they need to do. Only believe that that cross was enough. Only believe that your love is enough. And Lord, then to only believe that your intention is for them, to gain them, to bring them to yourself. Lord, I pray for that reality to not just come quickly and fade quickly, but that seeds would have been planted this morning by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that as people go into their private prayer times and their private alone times driving, that you'd begin to just reveal your glory to them, that they begin to find themselves lost in your love, in the power of your presence, and embrace the warmth that comes knowing that the one who made it all wants to be with me. Not afraid of you. Lord, I thank you for this week, for what's coming. I thank you for the rest of this day as we prepare to go up into Saugerties and just enjoy a meal, to walk some streets where we know you want to touch people's hearts, Lord. We know that your mind is so big, the vastness of this world is so beyond us, Lord. Cause us to just have enough faith to rise up and believe that you want to at least just touch this village, this tiny little speck on the map, Lord God. That we could be those that just go and enjoy a meal, that enjoy the presence of our God, the joy that you've put on the inside of us, that's our strength, that we would dare to believe that it could catch on to somebody else. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you have a perfect plan for every life in this room. We just want to be those that surrender to it today by faith.